We did one earlier, so. Okay, let's.
You'll get it one of these days.
Join us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the Thursday, February 19th meeting of the Los Osos Community Services District. Could we have a roll call, please?
Director Sennett?
Here.
Director Sasania?
Here.
Director Kelly?
Here.
Vice President Ohilski?
Present.
President Sparks?
Present. First, we're going to have a report out of closed session for February 5th, 2009, and February 19th, 2009. And before Mr. Seitz begins that, there's one item that Mr. Seitz was not present, but he's aware of, is that on February 5th, we appointed Mr. Seitz, Shipsey and Seitz, as general legal counsel for the district.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. I'll address today's closed session first, and then I'll recap the February 5th closed session agenda. At approximately 6 o'clock, the board did adjourn to closed session to discuss certain items of litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9B, those being the U.S. bankruptcy court case in the Northern Division, the Los Osos Community Service District versus the American Alternative Insurance Corporation case, the Regional Water Quality Control Board versus the Los Osos Community Service District. This is our appeal of the State Water Resource Control Board ACL fine. And just briefly, as to the first one, the bankruptcy court case, you did hear an update from legal counsel but took no reportable action. As to the Los Osos Community Service District versus American Alternative Insurance Corporation, we do have some good news, and maybe the general manager would want to share that with the audience.
We have received a reimbursement check in the amount of $249,500.
And then as to the Regional Water Quality Control Board case, we did hear an update from legal counsel, but the board took no reportable action. Lastly, there was one item of personnel pursuant to Government Code Section 54957. These are contract negotiations with an unrepresented employee, that being the utility systems manager. The board did hear an update but took no reportable action. Going on to the February 5th meeting, it's my recollection that we met in closed session prior to the board meeting. We did have a report out, but I'll restate it again. At that meeting, we did, pursuant to the same code sections, 54956.9, discuss the bankruptcy case. We also discussed the taxpayer's watch case at that time, our Los Osos versus the American Alternative Insurance Corporation case, the D. Murphy versus the EPA, the Regional Water Quality Control Board, the State Water Resources Control Board, the Governor of California, the County of...
Appreciate the opportunity to come here tonight. As you're aware, you have, through the cooperative agreement, you've designated Chief Jenkins, the Chief of San Luis County Fire and CAL FIRE, as your Fire Chief for the South Bay Fire Department. I run the day-to-day operations of the station, but it's Chief Jenkins who is your Fire Chief. And so we'd like to take this opportunity to introduce you to the Chief and vice versa, and so I'll let him introduce himself.
Thanks, Phil. Well, I feel a little silly since most of the people in this room already know me, but we do have two members to the board, and we thought it'd be nice to come down and officially introduce ourselves and welcome Mitch Cooney, who I've had the pleasure of working with before. Now he's in the community. But again, my name's Matt Jenkins, and as the chief for CAL FIRE in San Luis Obispo, I serve as your fire chief and have since the contract began. I am a resident of the community. In fact, my family has lived here for 38 years. I left for a few years, came back, and started my fire service career here in Los Osos as a reserve firefighter. Left for about 20 years, becoming the fire chief in Cameron Park, and was then went to work for the state and was fortunate enough to come back here about 12 years ago to stay. And I love it here, and very proud and pleased to be your fire chief. I think our agreement has worked very well here in Los Osos, and we're very pleased to be here. So I also wanted to introduce a couple of my staff have recently taken new positions, and Nancy Corporidge. Nancy has 25 years of service. She came to us from our academy, our state academy in Ione, as the director of fire training. Brings a wealth of experience with her. She is our administrative division chief, handles our finance and personnel issues, and deals with the contracts. So you may interact with Nancy, hopefully always in a good way. Numbers are looking pretty good for this next year on the contract. I think we'll be within 0.5% of where we were last year, so that's a positive thing in these challenging fiscal times. And also Rob Lewin. Rob Lewin has actually been in this unit for quite a few years, having served in our pre-fire engineering as our fire marshal and as the battalion chief for our Midcoast Battalion, which includes Pismo Beach and Avila Beach, and he took care of that nuclear power plant down there. Tom's plant. Is Tom here somewhere? Yeah. There he is. Rob just recently took the assignment as our Coastal Division Chief. He covers the coast from the Santa Barbara County line to the Monterey County line. Has a pretty large area, 3 battalions, and he's now Phil's boss. And so if you have any trouble with Phil, you can talk to Rob, and then Rob will talk to me. But and Rob has, I think, 30 years of service now, right? Correct. Okay. You folks want to say anything? Nope. All right. I'll give you one other bit of news. It may be a little premature, but I think it's good news for Los Osos. We're currently negotiating with the school district to lease a couple of the buildings at Sunnyside School right across the street to move our training division there. Be a couple classrooms and a number of offices. So we would expect that to occur in a few months. And you will see a much greater presence of CAL FIRE vehicles and employees around. We will have a number of people with permanent offices there who will also be available to the community for emergency response. A number of our captains will work out of that facility. And when we're holding classes, we'll have quite a few folks. It's not just our own people that we train. We train people from all over the county and from out of the area. And I'm sure that Carlux and Starbucks and all of the restaurants will appreciate those folks coming to lunch. So thanks for letting us introduce ourselves, and we'll see you again in a few minutes when we pin some badges on. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Jenkins, and the other chiefs, your staff, and your firefighters. Your work's greatly appreciated. And now we have a presentation. We have Tom Wright here.
Mr. President, Tom Wright has served the last couple years on our Emergency Services Committee and has become aware of some of the things that have happened at the station, our purchasing processes, and how things are working, and took it upon himself after listening to some of the, well, not really complaints, but just trying to figure out how to do certain things at the station and watching some of the guys in some of the rain gear who are bringing rain gear home from their other jobs or buying it downtown. Wrote a grant through PG&E.
Thank you. Excuse me, I'm battling a cold. I'm fortunate enough to work for an employer who values community service and those employees who do volunteer in the community, and I'll be applying for a third grant this year for South Bay to try to get the rest of the volunteers or firefighters, the rest of the rank here. So, thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Okay, and now we're going to do an administrator of the firefighters' oath. We have four new reserve firefighters: Nate Hamm, Robert McKenzie, Lucas Schmidt, and Greg Vanderhoof.
Mr. President, I have before you Greg Vanderhoof. Greg Vanderhoof works here in Los Osos. Where are you, Greg? Hey, there he is. And his goal is to become a career firefighter. And starting out here, he's received his training. Has been very good for us. Lucas Schmidt, on the far end there, lives in Baywood Park. Again, been working for a while. He does not want to be a career firefighter, but is one of those folks that just says, you know what, I want to serve the community. And so that's why he's standing before you. Robert McKenzie. Lives also here in Los Osos, and his goal is to become a full-time firefighter. And Dave Sylvester, there on the end, lives in Morro Bay, but spends a lot of time in here, and his goal is to become a community firefighter, not to be a career firefighter. So four of them here, this fills out our company. We're at 25, as we're slated to, and so we need to swear them in.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead with this oath. On the first line, you'll have to state your name. So, I.
I'm sorry, I have to interject. You need to raise your right hand.
Oh.
I don't want to have you do this over.
Okay. Now that you know what's coming. Now that you know what's coming. Okay. I. Do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
And the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States. And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion,
and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter. Great. Thank you very much.
Be careful.
Thank you, Phil. That was very nice, and welcome aboard. Okay, next we're going to have a presentation of the Utility Department on the iBank Capital Infrastructure Improvement Project closeout. Mr. Milanis? All right. Thank you, George.
Thank you, President Sparks, board and staff and the public and public at home. I'm happy to be before you tonight to present the closeout of our capital improvement projects for the water distribution and our water supply system here in Los Osos. The process began about in 2003. I have Kerry Wagner here that helped us negotiate from the very beginning the securing of the funding and has been instrumental in assisting the district as we've moved through the process. So I'd like Kerry to kind of provide an overview of where we've been, and then I saw there's a few slides here, and I'm going to move through them pretty quickly. But it just what I want to give a kind of an indication when you get into construction, there's a lot of obstacles, but it's kind of fun. It won't take too long. And with that, I'll turn it over to Kerry. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, George. Again, my name's Kerry Wagner. I've been in front of you a couple times now over the years. I work for Wallace Group. I'm a senior engineer in the Water Resources Division. And I, like George said, I've been working on this project from the beginning through developing the Water Master Plan all the way through securing funding and through the construction of the project. So, George, do you want to... We'll get through here in a second. So today's presentation, we actually gave this presentation to the American Society of Civil Engineers last month as an overview and a recap of the entire project. So I'm going to give you just a little bit of a history on the community, the infrastructure bank, an overview of the projects, and then just a wrap up with the budgets. So the district was formed in 1998, and we transitioned from the county service area number 9 into the Los Osos Community Services District, which was completed in October of 1999. You guys retained Wallace Group as your district engineer in the spring of 2000, and we started the preparation of a water master plan to see what the true condition of your water system was. In 2001, we presented the draft, and then we finaled it in March 2003. And one of the major key elements that came out of this water master plan was identifying the first priority capital improvement projects that were for the health and safety major components of your system. Once we finished that, we started pursuing a $5 million loan through the California Infrastructure and Economic Development Bank. We were awarded this in September 28th on 2004. It's a 3.05% interest loan over 30 years. Our original finish date was supposed to be August 2007, but your board authorized us to proceed and continue on and get an extension, of which iBank provided to us, and so the extension was granted to January 27, 2009. The money was to be used for the first priority projects and the list of all those projects, and we'll go over some of them here in just a minute. And so all the money was funded for those projects. So first, when we first started the project, you also hired Wallace Group to be the program managers of the entire $5 million loan. And as our job, we were there to design the contracts or manage the design contracts. We were administering the loans, so we put together all the paperwork for iBank, and we did a lot of the contract administration during construction. We assisted the district with the environmental compliance and the county and local coastal planning compliance. We also did the contractor pre-qualification that was a requirement for the loan. We had to pre-qualify all the contractors and provide a recommend list of qualified contractors. So these were the only contractors, once we actually put the projects out to bid, these were the only contractors that were allowed to bid. Environmental compliance was probably ultimately one of the largest components of this project. As you know, you're in Los Osos. And in Los Osos, we have snails. So we ended up on several of the sites, had to do protocol site evaluations. We had to wait for the rain. This is one of the, one thing that caused us delay, because we ended up having to wait for rain last year and have to follow five rain events. We also had to do archaeological surveys. Within these surveys, the 16th Street tank site came up with no snails present, no archaeological issues. The South Bay well site ended up having some snail habitat, and so we had to we received concurrence from U.S. Fish and Wildlife, but we had to comply with their mitigation measures. I'm going to turn it over to George, and he's going to talk about the actual construction projects.
Placed over 900 services at a cost of $490 per service. In comparison, we did receive a couple bids inquiring on what these services would cost if we sent this out to for bids on contracts, and the bids we received were anywhere between $1,500 and $2,000 for service. The net result was we were able to replace 38% of the whole system for the allocated amount we had budgeted for these substandard lines, opposed to maybe we would have got maybe 9%. Anyhow, this is the polybutylene line. We've got some slides here, and these were some of the issues we were looking at, the encroachment issues. Everybody's done a great job beautifying the fronts of their property, but they encroach into the right-of-way, and my biggest nightmare was awarding this contract and then a contractor just kind of blowing through there and not being sensitive to the work and in what homeowners had put out there. So I could just imagine the phone ringing off the hook. So this was a project I felt confident that our crews could handle, and we did. These are just some shots of typical pulling. We were pulling under the street to minimize trenching. Some pulls, we just couldn't move them, and we would have to trench the streets. Again, just more shots as we're moving through here, and this is typical. Here's Schedule 40. This would happen a lot. Once you got down there, all of a sudden it'd blow out, and we'd have to have pumps out there to dewater the site, jump into rain suits. So it was quite an undertaking, and if you can imagine, but we did prevail. As we move forward, then we went to the north tank. While this was part of the I-bank, one of the tanks, we really lucked out with the San Simeon earthquake. It was actually a great favor in that we were able to completely rebuild the north tank that was damaged in 2002 with FEMA money. We ended up spending $400,000 there that was literally covered by the feds, and both tanks today are at the latest standards by the AWWA for water tanks. This is just some shots of diving the tanks when we were inspecting for damages. These, of course, are the old tanks. You can see a lot of the corrosion on the tanks. Here, part of the project had to do with seismic retrofitting. So literally, they pied out the divisions underneath the tank. We lifted it and put in a huge anchor wall that we could anchor that tank. Again, part of that FEMA project replaced the complete tub ring, which is the first 8 feet. You can see they cut it away so they could get equipment in and out of these tanks. Now, this one, I just looked quickly. The reason to get that equipment in, we had scaffolding because both tanks were identified to have a cold mastic liner in it, and we literally sandblasted all that off. That is not in compliance today, and we put a 2-epoxy drinking water approved liner in that, and that was the shot there. This is the top of the tanks. It's a beautiful sight. We were doing some work up there. This is the old booster pump station that clearly if you we'll have a tour Friday, but this is non-existent. You won't even recognize the spot. The lights were a night tie-in. Again, moving through the 16th Street Booster Pump Station. Our designers were Penfield and Smith Engineers, an excellent firm out of Santa Barbara and with office in Santa Maria, and they designed the booster pump station. This had to do with bringing pressures up throughout the system. That was done by not only replacing the old booster pumps, but providing pressure-reducing valve stations throughout the community, 11 check valves, so we could direct the flows and actually pressurize particular areas. There also needed to do was an upgrade to our South Bay well due to the increased pressures. We had to change out that pump so we could pump against that higher head, and then also the retrofit of both the north and south tanks with painting and lining. The challenge on the booster pump station is when it was originally built, of course, it was built in the right-of-way or in the pub, in the setback. And the county, it never was zoned out of residential, so we were looking at the county wanted us to build it in back of the tanks, and it literally took getting a variance to construct the station in the front. Contractor on that was John Madonna, did a fantastic job. The final contract amount, which was the largest of the contract, was over $1.7 million. And there was a pump delay. I didn't know, but all the foundry, and here you get a kind of a lengthwise views of what that booster pump station looks today. We had Cal Fire up there, kind of instruct, letting them know how they will benefit for firefighting in the community the other day. And you can't see that really good, but it just is a comparison of how we boosted the zone. Typically, the lower pressure zones that would see 25 pounds per square inch are now enjoying 55 to 60 pounds pressure. And then the areas that had typically 45 pounds of pressure in the systems are up in the 70s and 80s. And we've gotten a lot of calls thanking us. People say, God, it's great to take a shower now with zonal water pressure. Again, these are some of the check valves and pressure reducing stations put in the community. You can see the fairly large public works project. The valves, again, this was the work as we were proceeding at the booster pump station itself. This was the switch over PG&E with the voltage required. And again, this is just a series of shots as it was in progress. These are actually the on the suction inlet side of the pumps, and this comes out of a manifold. And again, the inside of our new booster pump station, it features two large fire flow pumps that are over 100 horsepower, or 100 horsepower apiece. Our new generator, extremely quiet. You can hardly hear it run. And this is what it looks like if you were to drive up there today. And actually, today is like that. We completed the crews, did the landscape, and did the retaining walls with the railroad ties. And really proud of the work the guys did. 16th Street, the water main upgrade. This was an upgrade to the main line on Los Osos Valley Road, probably one of the most visible of the projects. I'm sorry, that was 16th Street. My mistake. Anyhow, Penfield Smith was design engineers on the 16th Street, and that project involved upgrading 4,300 feet of water main from 8 to 12-inch and then 16-inch ductile iron water mains, and really made up the backbone of our system. And this is pretty typical. You know, we there were some water leaks that we got on. This is one of the areas that was sensitive, and we needed some biological monitoring as we moved through some of these areas. The snails posed a significant challenge with respects to what we had to do to construct. Again, moving large diameter pipe into place. Okay. And this is just another upgrade on the 9th Street on Los Olivos, again, increasing from up to 16-inch ductile iron. And we increased about 1,400 feet of 12-inch and then 1,100 feet. And this is what boosted the whole Bush Street, Farrell, that whole zone. So, and really brought those pressures up there. Contractor was R. Baker on this one, as well as the 9th Street. Contract amount was $399,000 on this. And this just kind of shows an overview. This is over by the CSD office. You can see the type of shoring required for the water lines due to the sands. It's an air vac on the right there, and just one of the workers. This is on Los Olivos. You can see some of the pipes. This was actually the pipe that would go into LOVR and lives in LOVR now. The Los Osos water main projects, this was a seismic retrofit. We redid the 10-inch line. Now it's 1,200 feet of 6-inch, a 16-inch ductile iron, and this will literally be the future transmission main down the road, so when we build the additional tank we need to satisfy our storage deficiency, that will that pipe is already in place. And that project was $281,000, again by R. Baker. And you can see where it is. It's off of 9th Street and runs down LOVR. And here's just some shots out there as we did that work. And you can notice we're out there in front of the skate park at this point. And you can see the side. And this was the drilling of the well. Again, we had to take mitigation measures due to this. There were snails identified on this project. That's what remains. It's all tied into the existing pump facilities we have there. So in summary, the overall budget, the construction, we spent over $3.8 million actually constructing. The engineering, the permitting costs was at $1.1 and some change. The origination fee was $42.5 for a total of $5 million. I want to note, overall, we only had 7% in contract change orders. On a $5 million project, I can tell you most public works projects go well over that. So just a 7% on contract change orders is a huge success when it comes to overruns. And then lastly, we are proud of our accomplishments. There were a lot of challenges along the way. And tomorrow from 2 to 5, we will have the booster pump station tanks open for an open house. We're doing tours, walking around. The operators will be out there, be able to talk, answer questions of what we have there. And we're hoping that the community comes out and really takes a look at the accomplishments. And with that, I think that concludes it, and I'm glad to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Milanis. Thank you, Carrie. And again, that open house will be on the 16th Street tomorrow from 2 to 5, so please come out and meet our utilities crew and staff and see the see some of the work. Next item is our consent calendar. So are there any items on the consent calendar that any director would like to pull?
I would like to not pull, but I would like to just have a short discussion of both E and F, as we've discussed in the future, or pardon me, in the past.
Those are items E and F. That's for some brief clarification. Okay.
Can I ask, is that appropriate to do it now or after public comment?
I think staff's ready to go.
Okay.
Item E, board meeting, the board appointed people to the standing advisory committees of the district, and for one reason or another, some of the people who were appointed couldn't meet the schedule of the meeting, and so some of the people were changed from one committee to another, and based on that, we're just bringing the entire thing back for to the board for ratification this evening with the changes that we have been made aware of.
Thank you, Mr. Cooney. Brief comment.
I just had a brief comment on that, and then I'd like to have Mr. Seitz explain. There is a minor change on the bylaws since we saw them last time. But I would like to make a short comment on the standing committee adjustments. I was the one that contacted the various members in order to do some adjustments. And I'd like to express the appreciation, at least my appreciation, my nominees to Emergency Services and Water were the two that had a scheduling conflict, and I was able to resolve that by Lynette Ternatsky agreeing to move to Water and Tom Wright agreeing to be appointed to the Emergency Services. And in order to implement that, my nominee to the Water Services Committee, Alon Perlman, agreed to step down. And I really want to express my appreciation to Alon for being more interested in what was best for the community rather than having a personal interest to allow us to make those modifications to the committee. So that's just a comment that I have. And I appreciate the cooperation of everybody. And then my question on number F is, the bylaws, there was a slight modification based on, I guess, state law for the reimbursements that we didn't look at last time. And you redlined that in the copy that we received in our staff report. Could you maybe clarify what that is, please?
A litigator or a lawyer could appreciate this, is that maintaining tapes and records for recordings for a 10-year period can be hazardous. I mean, they can get lost. CDs can crack, break, or whatever can happen. Then you get yourself into these legal arguments. Why don't you have those tapes around for 10 years, like you said, in your policies? So we modified that to read, the district will maintain the tapes and recordings for a 30-day period after the taping and or recording. During that 30-day period, the district will provide without charge a videotape player for inspections of said tapes and or recordings. In addition to the 30-day requirement, the district will attempt to maintain tapes and or recordings without legal obligation to do so for a minimum of 10 years after the date of taping or the recording. However, during this extended period, the district may not be able to provide a video or tape player to facilitate inspections. And what this basically means is we all know technology in 10 years from now is going to be markedly different than the technology we have in the district today. And I don't think the district, you know, we may not be able to maintain the recording devices that we have today for a 10-year period. We will attempt to have the tapes and recordings available, but you may have to go out and find an antique tape machine or recording machine 10 years from now, going back to today, to actually view them or listen to them. So that was the modification we made.
Yeah, and the reason that I wanted to bring that up is this was not a red line change that showed up in the staff report, although the ad hoc committee, the bylaw committee, we did see it and review it, and we were agreeable to it. And unlike Mr. Wright, who's battling a cold, I've lost the battle to my cold, so you'll have to apologize, or you'll have to forgive me for my voice here. But I just wanted to point that out so everybody knew that that was one change from what we saw last time we met. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Seitz. Director Sennett.
In reviewing this, I noticed on 2.12 regarding videotape recorders, is there any need to distinguish private devices from the district's contractor equipment? It's on page 3.
Yeah, what was it, 2.?
2.12.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think what the way I read 2.12, this, for the audience perspective, this is basically says all videotape recorders shall or still, sorry, all videotape recorders still in their motion picture camera shall remain stationary and shall be located and operated from behind public speaker's podium once the meeting begins. The chairperson retains the discretion to alter these guidelines, including the authority to require all videotape recorders still and or motion picture cameras be located in the back of the room. I think by signing the contract with the board's approval, we've agreed that the chair has exercised the discretion to okay, so to speak, or approve the current location. Yeah.
Thank you. And I'll make one other brief comment on the water rate study. It's originally it was planned to have the final presentation from FCS tonight and close out the water rate study. Mr. Cooney determined it might be beneficial, since we had new committees, to have them review it. And so that he arranged, since we only have one more presentation of the contract, to defer that until the committees had a chance to review it. Both the Finance and Water Advisory Committee did review the updated presentation from their draft presentation this week. And then Mr. Cooney is receiving comments from the committee members, and he's going to assimilate all that back to FCS for the final study. And both committees will have a chance to review it. So I think it was a studious decision so that we took as much advantage of FCS as we could. And right now that's tentatively scheduled to have the final presentation on March 19th, I believe. Director Cecina.
Since I can't go to a committee meeting and ask these questions, I have to ask them here. And this is something I would like the committee liaisons to maybe take back to their committees when they review that water rate study for the last time. It's my understanding that residential users who are forced to put in a sprinkler system as a result of a remodel or a new construction have to... And for the people in our service area, I would just like to know, I guess, what portion of our revenues are generated that way, how we can make up for that some other way. I don't think it's right to have that standby charge when the reality is if you ever turn on those sprinklers, you're actually using less water than it would take to fight the fire from the hydrant. I'm in Golden State's service area, and they do the same thing. It's just not right. So if you could... have your committees look at that and just see if there's a way to work around that. I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
It's still a proposed, so it hasn't. Yeah, so I'll submit that. Thanks, Chuck.
Director Kelly.
Claire, I couldn't find this in my packet, so I was taking Marshall's. There still seems to be some clarification on the Finance Advisory Committee and the Water Advisory Committee. I was under the impression that we were flipping a couple more people and moving Bill Garfinkel to finance, back to finance, and Gordon Taylor to water. And the way it's written down here, it's not clear to me. Am I wrong on that?
They were amenable to that.
That was my understanding, correct?
That they would switch.
Right, that they would switch positions and then switch their role as alternate, that Gordon Taylor would take an active role in water and be the alternate to finance, and Bill Garfinkel would be the active role in finance, and Gordon would be the alternate, was my understanding.
Mr. Seitz, could we amend the consent, or would we have to pull that
that
amendment?
Yeah, I think you should pull that item.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll pull... item E, and then right now we're going to take public comment on the consent calendar items A, B, C, D, and F, and item E will be pulled separately.
Mr. President, could we just have item E, when you pull it, just referred back to staff? I always believe it's best to approve a complete, clean copy of something so that, you know, or just...
So I propose that we pull it and refer it back to staff, right? No?
No, I have a problem.
Well, let's go ahead and pull it. We'll do it tonight. So
wait. You have an objection there.
No, I would like to see it pulled, but I would like to have the committee changes made tonight so people can be sitting on the committee's next meeting.
They want to amend the bylaw.
I want to amend the motion rather than have a clean copy.
Okay, why don't we do this, Director Kelly, because we're getting borderline. I would suggest we go ahead and not pull item E. We take comment and consider approval of the entire consent calendar, and we can always come back with a consent item on the next calendar if there's another adjustment, since I think it will address everybody's concerns. So with that, we'll take public comment on the consent calendar, items A, B, C, D, E, and F. And if you could come to the podium and form a line. All the items on the consent calendar. We're not pulling any item.
How are you making the
adjustment? We're not making any adjustment other than the ones made on what's proposed. If there's an adjustment made at a later meeting, that would come back for consent.
I guess that cold is spreading around. Anyway, Leon Golden. I want to address item F on the rules of decorum. Under the rules of decorum, there's rule 4.3K in parens, which I think... is A, unnecessary, and B, if followed through, will waste more time than it will save. Now, this rule seems to give the chair the right to rule someone out of order who is making public comment if they're being repetitive. Well, you know, some people are excellent speakers. They start on time and they finish on time and they stick to the subject. But not everybody has that skill. And it's not an easy... you would consider something as far as appointing people to the Financial Advisory Committee and Water Ops Committee, not having the same people on both of those committees. Water Ops in particular is a committee which is supposed to give you advice on how to run an enterprise zone, how to run a business. That's what it's supposed to be. And to have the same person also sit on finance, whose job it is to look over the entire picture of finance of the community, may create a conflict of interest. It may create maybe not a conflict of interest, but at least feeling that one should be loyal to one place and not the other.
Thank you, Mr. Gold. Next speaker, please.
Well, I will start with what Mr. Golan just said, because, the Brown Act allows the public to come up to a podium and spend at the discretion of amount of time that the board chair decides. People can lie on the podium. That is their right. This is the beauty of the American system, that they are allowed to lie. And of course, directors are obligated, should a lie be such that they may feel a brief comment is appropriate, that's what they should do. But in the same way that people may lie, some people may be forming ideas at the podium. Others might grandstand and give an overview of a situation and not appear to be repetitive, but be just grandstanding and repeating stuff that we're all very well aware of, just to present it as their own ideas. I'm going to skip to a complete different subject. It's good that you are keeping archival copies. I didn't hear the word archival. Many organizations have an archiving policies for their electronic and other media, and it's good that you're extending it, and it's good that you're covering yourselves in that respect. I'm not clear if all the members of the committees that you have listed are the same members that you want to have at the end state, so I hope that you do pull that item if that's necessary. But otherwise, I'd say go ahead and approve everything that you've talked about so far. I would want to mention about the water study that I believe 38%, apparently 80% of the connections were initially substandard, and the monies were available to repair 38% of them, which means that 62% remain substandard. And I would like to know if Mr. Milanis has an identification policy or an action plan for should future monies become available, or whether he's been able to concentrate. I know it's mostly geographical. In other words, doing one house after the other, but whether he's identified higher priorities, fixes for the next round, as a matter of course, so that we can address at some point those 62%. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good evening. George Taylor, Los Osos. I have to take an exception to the chair's interpretation of being repetitive. Being repetitive is a right that we are given under the Constitution to address this board. I think it's well within the realm of the Brown Act. And I don't think that the chair really has the ability, mentally or otherwise, to determine that something is repetitive. It's a judgment call, and I don't think that you have that right to make a judgment call as to what is said at this podium, whether it's repetitive or not, because it can be said in many ways and be deemed as repetitive. And I think that you had better very strongly review this, and your ultimate vote on this should be that
whatever it might be, had to fill out an application. Unless you do that, then you should not be appointed. Thank you.
Next speaker, please.
Richard Margetson, three items. On the committee appointments, I'm glad Tom Wright is back as a permanent member on the Emergency Services Committee. I think he should have been picked the first go-round. It's your responsibility as elected officials, when you're appointing people to committees or outside agencies, you have a responsibility to your constituency to pick the best and the brightest. Not your friends. You need to pick the people that are qualified to make decisions, bring things forward at the committee level for the betterment of the community. On the bylaws, I agree with Leon Golden and what he discussed. My concern also is 4.2 plus A and B, all of 4.2. Like Leon said, there are people that can come to this lectern and give public comment without having something written down. But what my concern is down the road, if there's a issue of contention in this community, some people that you never see in this room sit at home, it's happened in the past, type out a statement because they're very nervous of coming up here and winging it, and then prepare for 3 minutes and then come to the microphone and find out that they get a minute or a minute and a half or 2 minutes. I think you set a dangerous precedent by having these in here, and I'm real concerned about the 30-minute limit on any agenda item. And then my last comment is the water rate study. I actually thought this was going to be an agenda item tonight. So the three things I'm still concerned about, and I want this on the record, that's you've already heard it in committee. I'm concerned about the conservation component of this rate study that's not being considered when developing the final rate structure. I'm also concerned that the way the rate structure is set up now, as I explained in both committees, I don't believe the rate structure now, based on the breakdown the consultants have as to consumption by block, will get you to the numbers in this rate study. And I think that needs to be adjusted. I gave the example the other night. I also went out to the sixth year, and the sixth year leaves you substantially short. You don't have individual numbers of how many people use 2 units, 3 units, 8 units, 10 units, and I think that's a problem. And then my third point is you need to just have further discussion about the breakdown between fixed and variable cost.
Thank you for your comment. Next speaker, please.
Rachel Rosenthal, Los Osos. I just wanted to ask Chuck, President Joe, since Chuck brought it up, the issue of the 1 inch, a person having 1 inch in our district, and I thought you had said, I just wanted to ask if he was in our district or Golden State. I missed that, what you said about that. And if you were currently paying, I'll finish and then we can. And if you were currently paying what you refer to as a standby charge, or because there are supposed to be 21-inch users in that group. And from what you said, it sounds like since that data was given to our consultant, there may be more than that. And if you're one of them, I mean, like if you know a lot of people who've had to do that retrofit in the last few years with remodels, I would love to know. And if you're paying a capacity charge right now. So that's my question.
Thank you for your comment.
Question.
Director Cena.
No, I am in Golden State's service district, and I currently pay that meter. And I don't know how many people there are. I have had three other people in the community come up to me and ask me about that same thing. I don't know if those people are in. I would imagine they're in Golden State because most of them are neighbors of mine.
Okay. I'll close it, and we'll bring it back for a motion. I'll just make a brief comment on 4.3K being
in 5.6 about the preservation of the record. So, you know, I think that we need to approve this, and really the only item that has changed is that 5.6. I don't want to reopen the door to things that were already there, and especially 4.3K that's been in there forever. So I'd like to move on the consent agenda, but I'm still not comfortable with the committee assignments, and I really would like to pull that item.
Okay. Mr. Seitz, so if we pull it, we'll open it back up again for comment. So I had a director request, and he's
got... Right, right. Under our bylaws, under the consent calendar, a director, any one director has the ability to pull an item off the consent calendar. So if that was the case, the motion would be to approve all the items on the consent calendar except for item E. And under our rules, item E would be dropped to the foot of the calendar.
I just feel it's important that we get the committee structure correct now so we can move forward in our monthly meetings, next meeting, with the proper committees. I think it will take us 1 minute to clear up the discrepancies. I don't think it's a big deal. I think we can do it extremely quickly.
Okay, so item E is pulled. Do I have a motion on the rest of the consent calendar?
I make a motion that we approve the consent calendar. Oh, you did? I'm seconding. You did?
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Vice President Ohilski?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
President Sparks?
Yes. Okay, let's... we're going to consider consent item E. And
Mr. President, I don't want to interrupt here too much, but it's been our policy that items that are pulled to from the consent calendar go to the foot of the calendar. I think that used to be on our agenda. I'm not sure that it still is.
Don't I have the discretion of?
You do.
Okay, so I'd like to have it considered now. I think it's fresh in our minds. And
I think that the Emergency Services Committee is correct. There's some discrepancies, though, on the Water and Finance Committee from what I thought was going to happen. And I do appreciate some of the comments that have been made, but my understanding of the way the committees were going to be restructured was that Finance would contain Lisa Gonzalez, Chuck Cribbs, Burke Vanderhoff, John Sarwine, and William Garfinkel as the five committee members. And that Water would consist of Chuck Sneed, Lynette Ternatsky, Dominic Roques, Lindy Owen, and Gordon Taylor. Now, there's been some discussion tonight about the alternates. What I would propose we do is appoint those five members to those two committees and deal with the alternates at a later date.
Yeah. First of all, what you wrote off was incorrect. What you read off was incorrect. Gordon Taylor was appointed to the Finance Committee, and Bill Garfinkel was appointed to the Water Committee. And then Bill Garfinkel was an alternate to the Finance Committee, and Gordon Taylor was an alternate to the Water Committee. And basically, it's been proposed that we switch both those scenarios. And before we go further, I'll make another. All the committee members appointed were appointed, and even with the adjustments, were appointed to committees to which they applied.
So. But I think I may be wrong here, but what I was saying is that the committee appointments should be Lisa, Chuck, Burke, John, and Bill to Finance under what we're approving tonight, and then Chuck, Lynette, Dominic, Lindy, and Gordon to Water under what we're approving tonight, not what we did last time. And that's what I was proposing as the motion.
Yeah, and I was comfortable with that happening. I just thought we could have done that particular one at a later date. So, Director Kelly.
In addition, though, because Bill and Gordon then flip as alternates on both those committees, we can just drop them as alternates, and reopen it to additional alternates. I guess we could talk to them and find out if they're okay, but it would be nice to not have that overlap.
Complete this tonight. If they want to drop out as an alternate, that's fine. But I want to get this completed tonight, since that was the desire for pulling it.
Well, I'd move then that we adopt the...
We can't make a motion yet. We're going to have to hear from the public. Okay, if there's no other staff or director comment at this moment, we'll have public comment.
Chuck Cribbs, and I am on the Finance Advisory Committee. I have no problem moving Gordon Taylor to the Water Committee because he's obviously very talented in that area. I hate losing him as an alternate. That's going to be your decision. But my question is what were their wishes on that? I haven't heard that. Did they want to drop out as alternates on alternatives, or did you guys just want them to serve on one committee? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cribbs. Next speaker, I want to say briefly, Bill originally had applied to the finance and it indicated a willingness to serve on both of them. Gordon had applied to both committees. Mr. Perlman, thank you.
Lon Perlman, not currently on a committee. Serving on a committee has been a privilege, but although the committees also have a role of channeling and bringing in the public input, the reality of it is that your laws and how most CSD operates is that the committee operates at the will of the board. And so I've seen situations where people have been elected into committees, people who may have had certain talents but were not team or process oriented, and as a member on your committees, a lot of my personal time has been wasted because of, in some cases, lack of control. Committees are not round-robin discussions of new ideas. Their role is to function to advise the board. And in order to do that, they have to focus on agenda items, get work done, operate well as teams. And so, of course, you should find the most qualified people in town who are willing to serve, or as I said earlier, another qualification is that they should be reluctant to serve. There's a little problem in terms of how your bylaws are stated right now, because you also have a rule where I believe a director can nominate a person, and my only concern about that isn't necessarily whether or not they should. It's the fact that if a person is nominated, then it is unlikely that they have submitted an application. And I think there's a value to the public to know who are applying and why. But again, I think it's... you were elected to make decisions. And while it's very important to receive public comment during committee meetings, those committees' function is primarily to serve the community by being your by being your extra ears, but in a sense by being extra brains and hands and getting things done. So I think you should keep that in mind, because I do recollect that at one point there was a dearth, a limit, a small number of people applying to committees, and the comment was made, we'll take anybody. That's not necessarily a good policy. You should continue to think about the care and feeding of your committees. Your committees should be successful, and you should choose qualified people that work well together. And yes, I am repeating myself. Anyway, thank you for allowing me to serve previously, and that's my time.
Thank you. Next speaker, please. Okay, seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board.
I'd like to make a comment. I think if we go with the Emergency Service Committee, as it's indicated in the staff report, and with the five committee members on finance and water that I read off, every one of those persons has made an application for those committees. And I think we have a good representation of the community. I agree with some of the speakers that we should open it up for more participation. And I think by not appointing the alternate to finance and water at this point and reopening it to application makes a lot of sense. And that allows more of the community the opportunity to participate. So I'd like to make the motion that we accept the Emergency Services Committee as laid out, and then Finance and Water with the five names that I read off previously for each of those. And Mr. Cooney.
I think we'd agree we've made it a little bit of a herky-jerky process, but we'll get it right. Okay, agenda item A is the presentation of the fiscal year 08-09 mid-year budget. Mr. Cooney.
Before you is the mid-year budget. Ampi Haber, the district accountant, is here to help answer some questions. Budget is viable to the end of the year. We've spent a considerable amount of time going through the budget to ensure that the decisions you've made prior will carry us through the end of the year. In the next Finance Committee meeting, I'm going to present a different format and a different concept as far as preparing the budget. Hopefully that the budget will be a little easier to understand. Some of the transfers and reserve accounts will be displayed in a little different fashion. Ms. Haber here has only one budget adjustment for you, and that's because the objects are out of balance. And if you just were to make that one, the motion concerning the salary and the benefits are sufficient to cover the operating expenses in the Fund 650, which is solid waste, then the budget, as projected right now, will see us through the end of the year.
So, Mr. Cooney, what you're asking tonight, based on staff recommendation, is that we're simply going to receive this analysis and we're really only making one budget adjustment.
That is correct.
Okay. So the formal, there will be no formal budget adjustment for property tax revenues or water revenues in this, at this time.
Oh, not at this time, right. We have completely, basically in the last couple of days, we have completely redone the water budget and looked at it from a different perspective, and we still find that it's in balance, but we'll present that initially to the Finance Committee to see if they approve and agree with the presentation format, and then if we can go from there, we'll use that for all the other budgets.
Okay, so yeah, to me that means we're really doing more of just a single budget adjustment.
That is correct.
We're providing analysis. It's
right.
Not a classic mid-year budget adjustment.
That is correct.
What we're considering. Okay,
there is no other budget adjustment that is absolutely necessary at this time. As I said, right now we're on track to get through the end of the year without actually having a budget adjustment.
And you will be making another budget adjustment because of the receipt of the insurance money.
Oh, yeah.
We're
going to come back with a complete staff report on that, yes.
Okay, we'll take public comment. If you could come to the podium, and if you could form a line so we...
Rachel Rosenthal, I'm trying not to waste time. President Joe, I just had a question. First of all, I just want to say again thanks to Ampi and how much work and how much change there is in this. And you always see her working and finding things and correcting things. And I just appreciate it so much. And one of the committees, Gordon, somebody at the committee noticed it too and just complimented whoever's been working on the budget. And I just want to thank Ampi for her dedication. But I also just had a quick question in case Mr. Seitz can remember off the top of his head about the solid waste budget revenue and whether that is whether it's a percentage of revenues paid quarterly or whether it's a lump sum per year. And I just wondered about that. And then the second thing is the question about the iBank. I should ask Ampi probably, but I just wondered the reimbursement from the well, since the well's been declared a source of water, We had to pay for that until it was declared a bona fide supplemental source of water. And I wondered if the cash has come back from the iBank and where that was paid out of and where it's coming back to, if that had been discussed yet, and how much that amount was. So those are my quick ones.
Mitch or Ampi, do you have a, can you respond to that, please?
Well, I have to confess that for the franchise revenues, I went on a trend. I kind of just eyeballed that one because I...
Hey, next speaker, please.
iBank.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's one other question on the iBank reimbursement.
I'm totally clueless on that, so I'm sorry.
It's okay. We can... It doesn't matter.
Richard Margetson, I'm curious, first of all, is the format that you're going to come back with, Mr. Cooney, is it going to have a column for what the actual initial budget was for the year? Is that the column you're adding? Because that doesn't show up on these.
No, what...
It just has... I'll wait for an answer on that. And then I'm not sure I completely understand that there's only one mid-year budget adjustment. If you look in the water department budget in this package, there's a whole, the fifth column is proposed additional mid-year budget adjustments. And there's numbers all through here. There's $5,000 increase in meters and the reduction in the charge-off to the iBank. I'm confused on what this report is actually giving us.
We have that we can hand out right now, if you'd like, the redo of the water budget that shows...
Is that the one that's in this packet?
No. We just finished it today. I mean, that's why we believe we can make the recommendation we do. I believe that the district budget process needs some work.
Okay. Because besides this one minor little adjustment, I thought we were going to have a discussion of water revenue adjustment at the mid-year budget. No, Joe? You're not answering? Or okay. Well, we're lost out here. You're not responding. We have nothing to go on here. There's one item on here, and there's many more budget adjustments, and there's nothing been discussed about the fire department budget and the adjustments that Bill's been working on. I don't get what this item is addressing tonight other than one item and just being moot on the item and not helping the audience who's here trying to, you know, bring things to light for you. I just don't get it. I don't get this item tonight.
This is ridiculous.
Thank you for your comment.
Mr. President.
Okay, I want you to finish your comment, Mr. Markinson. That's why I asked the question of staff before I took public comment. So I've seen the staff recommendation. I've seen the attachment, and I'm waiting until I hear public comment before I consideration whether I'm going to approve anything tonight. From my personal standpoint, Mr. Cooney?
The district finances are complex. They take some time to go through, and this item was placed on the agenda, and I just don't have the amount of time to go through this and be able to come up with a mid-year analysis. I have gone through all the numbers. I have looked at the accounts, and I believe that based upon the analysis that I can present to you, that we have sufficient funds to be able to complete the year. There are certainly many budget adjustments that need to be made. Those will come forward. We have, as for an example, we have tonight we were very fortunate that we could announce that we received a $249,000 check. Definitely needs to be a staff report in which we adjust those out. We also have looked at the revenue projection for the water service of the district. Believe that initially it was overstated. Some of the transfers in and out of the reserve accounts I think need to be made more clear. And you've got offsetting adjustments that are very difficult to understand. I mean, you've got two accountants that are sitting there looking at it for hours trying to sort it out. And I think we can do that. But I can't do that in 2 weeks.
Okay, next speaker, please.
Well, it sounds like to me it might be a good idea if you waited until the interim general manager has done what he appears to be getting ready to do. I'm not surprised at his analysis that the finances are, to say the least, a little confused. They have always been.
Gains from what you have been used to see. In fact, I was actually surprised that there is even a resolution that was attached to the package, because this was what was always done. If you are adjusting a proposed, if you are adjusting a already approved budget, you don't need a resolution. You are making budget adjustments. And certainly, and we did for Fund 100, 500, and FIRE, which are the biggest funds, we did attempt to do a line-by-line analysis. And Fund 100 is really coming out very good. If you look at page 11, that it's on the proposed additional media adjustments, that it will end up with a positive change of 207,000, which is mainly coming from savings in legal services and savings in salaries, but which is, of course, offset by the share of admin in lower property taxes. So Fund 100 seems to be, you know, doing some recovery, if you call it. Technically, okay, unless a budget is a plan, technically, if you are not going to if you are not going to jeopardize your appropriation because of decreased revenue, you don't need to adjust your budget. You are on the right track of your budget. And, of course, you know, it's up to the board to make that decision. If you making adjustments too many times during the year, pretty soon you really are adjusting to your actual all the time. And so this is done, you know, in bigger governments where they just analyze where you are going. And I think it would be good if we do at least a quarterly analysis. We redid the format for water. We have it here. This line by line that's presented to you, like Fund 100, you know, pages 9 to 11. This format is time consuming because we plug in manually the actual and all the other columns in there. It would be probably good if we adopt. Of course, you know, there are changes to be done because the budget lines, the budget format, is not the same as the financial format. Okay. So we have to, you know, put in things manually. And yeah, I said we did that for the three big ones. But I'd like to come up with another format, which is this. Is the system. We use the system, and we just do a minimal work on it. I realize that it's a new format from the budget, but it is so fast. But everybody is so used to this format of the budget, and which will be revised anyway for the coming year, and the accounts change also, and you know the whole thing will be changed and revamped. We Mitz and I have talked about you know certain things in planning for the next year's budget, and you know what you see now in this budgets will. Will just be a mirror of what we are going to present. But when everybody is confused or are surprised why we are not recommending budget adjustments, it's for that reason that we are saying that we are still within the plan. We can operate within the plan up to the end of the fiscal year. But, you know, it's normally move from line to line to line within that object. So anyway, that's the story why we are not presenting other budget adjustments.
Mr. President, I think a very wise individual here just suggested that maybe we be given a little more time. We have gone through every line item just to ensure one thing, that we can either let you guys know if you're about ready to fall off a cliff or things are okay. And where you are right now is you're going to make it through the end of the year. We have some, as I said, we have some ideas that hopefully will give a better presentation. We're going to be working on those. We're also going to be looking at pretty clear ideas as far as how we're going to be applying overhead to support the administration. We're going to be doing time studies so that we know exactly. We're going to have quantitative numbers to be able to apply those charges to the various departments. And I really hope and I believe that you're going to be very satisfied and pleased with the end product. But we're going to need a little bit of time to do this because some of these adjustments, particularly the offsetting adjustments that you have in your budget right now, are very complex. And I mean it. It takes pages of printouts just to figure out where those numbers even came from, and that's not necessary. I mean the way it's set up right now. So, if you'd just give us a little more time, I think that what we can report tonight is that you've got enough money to pay your bills. No, you know nothing's going to happen dramatically, and we're going to put together a product that I think everybody's going to be able to be proud of.
Is there any additional public comment? Okay. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board. Director Kelly.
I think it's appropriate to go ahead and wait to defer this, in that on page 2 it even says we hadn't even accounted for the judgment coming back. There's just some more details to work out. So I think it's appropriate to give staff more time and defer this.
Director Cicina.
I don't understand that, because if there's only one adjustment and it definitely needs to be done, why not take care of that and wait for the big analysis that's going to come?
Vice President Ohilski.
Yeah, I have a question about that. I guess this is not clear to me at all, and probably my cold doesn't help matters much. But there's one adjustment recommended in the summary, but then when I read the resolution, it says include the budget adjustment as specified in the summary and the budget sheets attached as attachment A, which means we're adjusting every single line in the budget. And I can't go for that.
And that's one of the things that we're going to try to stop. I mean, we shouldn't be doing that.
And that's why I that's why I can't vote for this tonight. I need to. I don't want to see every item adjusted. I want to know what we're doing in the big picture. That's my problem. It's not just that one item. It's all these attached pages.
I agree, and I think staff. That's what I believe. I thought when I asked the question at the beginning, I thought it clarified it for me. But I understand because of the attachment. I can understand why people. What the attachment, again, at this point is just an analysis, and I don't think we're going to consider approving resolution. But we would, I do believe, we'll consider one budget adjustment because that's what staff asked for. And we certainly could consider that, and I would want to do that because that's a known.
I thought we didn't need the resolution at all.
And I believe we, and we don't.
You don't.
We can do the one budget adjustment without the resolution.
And also, I want to say that I appreciate what staff's done because they provided material that the Finance Committee could see where some of the items, revenues, and particularly revenues for property taxes were going. Ms. Ampro, did you have a comment? I thought I saw you shaking your head.
Yeah, we don't need a resolution. I was actually surprised after I wrote the last sentence, I left on Friday. We had to go to the snow. and then when I came back and these packets, and there was the resolution attached to the packets, and I go, like, why do we have that? And I guess because we had that last year, and so the staff inserted it, but we don't need a resolution.
And I think for just it's a semantic, the mid-year... I think the resolution would be to adopt a mid-year budget, and I would never say a mid-year budget adjustment. Those are always, to me, they're always single items that come up, as and we've had a number of them this year, particularly related to the legal expenses. So I appreciate that. And I do understand staff had a difficulty because...
We've gotten to the point where we have adequate information to make any adjustments. I would just... Whether we can come back in 2 weeks or a month or however long it takes, I would prefer that you spend the time to do the analysis and put the information in a format that's distributed to not only the board but the public so they can look at it prior to the meeting to have time to comment. So I would prefer that we push it off, not necessarily the next meeting, but until... I'd even like to see it come to the Finance Committee before it comes back to us so there's an opportunity for more community input.
Yeah, and it would just as this did. Any other director questions of staff? I mean, if not, I would make a motion that we approve a budget adjustment in Fund 650 for the solid waste to increase service and supplies by $4,250 and transfer from the salary and benefits.
And I would second that.
I have a question. Can I ask the district council, we do not need a resolution to do this, or do we? I thought since it was a budget expenditure, we did need a resolution.
I think you can do it by motion and a roll call vote.
Roll call.
He said we didn't.
For clarification, the second was made by... Okay, thank you. President Sparks?
Yes.
Director Sasania?
Yes.
Director Sennett?
Yes.
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Vice President Ohelski?
Yes.
Thank you. And the next item is Agenda Item B, which is the appointment of an ad hoc committee to meet with a facilitator to plan for a goal-setting meeting of the Board of Directors. And I believe Mr. Cooney or Director Kelly requested this to be on the agenda, so either one of you?
When we first talked, one of the things that when I we first talked as a board and myself, one of the things we talked about is the establishment of a goal-setting session where the board would lay out their goals and plans for the next for a short period and then intermediate period. Just to put my druthers in, my feeling is the longer you go out on one of these things, the less they get done. I'm kind of looking for a pretty short term, you know, so we can show some success and all work together towards some projects. Director Kelly indicated that she knew some people who were experienced and talented in the area of mediating these things and facilitating these kind of processes, and so mediating these kind of processes, and so if the staff recommendation is followed, we'd have a ad hoc committee to meet with some facilitators. Find one whose kind of approach to these kind of settings are consistent with where we want to go, and then bring it back to the board for approval, and then set the date for the goal setting meeting.
Director Kelly?
Yeah, the idea, this would be more of a collaborative facilitation approach. And what I would propose is to meet with the facilitators and come up with a process about what the structure of that would look like, you know, just get some guidelines and parameters about how it would happen, set some time frames, how we would utilize input from the committees, and come up with a complete process. And then we would go through our own process as far as developing some strategies and some timelines. So that's kind of the loose framework at this time, but I'm ready to go whenever.
Thank you.
One additional thing is I've just learned that the Napomo Community Service District will be conducting one of these sessions next week, and if we do have an ad hoc committee, if someone could go just to see their successes and maybe things that could be modified just based on what happens there.
What day?
No, I don't know.
I believe it's Wednesday.
Director Cesena?
I just wanted to be clear. So we're looking right now to identify the facilitator that will help us through the process. We're not looking to hire a facilitator right now. We're not going to spend money
until
this comes back to the board.
Not that I haven't approached that with them. I mean, it might come up into discussion, but no, there wasn't any intention at this point.
Okay.
We hadn't even discussed beyond the fact that we wanted...
Alon Perlman... Prohibition zone, I guess. It's a great thing that you're proceeding with this, and I think it is true that you want to strike when the iron is hot in terms of goals. The longer you wait, things just don't get done that way. I did recommend to both Lisa Shaker and Julie Tacker, as they were in some of their last sessions, and I knew it wasn't a practical recommendation, but I was suggesting that they sort of input to objectives, that they do sort of leave their imprint as they were leaving, that they impart their philosophy. In terms of your structure, you are very much limited by the Brown Act. You really cannot communicate between yourselves other than through these public meetings. So the role of the facilitator, there's ways for you to communicate, and hopefully the facilitator is well-versed in the Brown Act, because to some extent, even though it's going to be an ad hoc committee, similar to how the bylaws committee worked, you really, all five of you, should be participating as much as possible in terms of goals, unless I'm misunderstanding. And it's not appropriate to do that. But that's what I'm seeing. In terms of other things as far as goals, earlier there was a discussion of the outdoor use and the extra attachments that Chuck Cesena brought up. One of your goals has to be recognizing that there's a lot of changes in how the government agencies are interacting and being prepared for that. And one thing that I think, as a forward-looking goal, you really should have some proactivity in understanding ordinances and county actions, future county. What can you ask from the county? What ordinances can you yourself create, especially as far as outdoor use is concerned? Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Well, I really hesitate to come forward, but I must, I guess, because I've been to too many of these sessions that you're about to perhaps put yourself through, and I would most especially advise against it. Facilitators who don't understand the community that you, or don't understand the jobs or responsibilities that each of you, all five of you have, will not solve any problem for you. It's going to waste a lot of money, a lot of time. You may love each other a little bit more, but you can get that from a marriage counselor or other things. But I, you know, been to too many of these. A facilitator comes along, interviews each of you in depth, finds out why you were born, et cetera, and so forth, and then makes suggestions of how you should be solving the community's problems. Well, if you'll excuse me, the way you find out about solving the community's problems is perhaps by going back to an old system we once had here every Saturday, or every, I forget exactly if it was every Saturday, but once a month, one of you sat in the office and had office hours and listened to what people had to say who came in, who might have something that they want explained to you. Maybe you'll find somebody in Los Osos who's neutral, who hasn't taken a position on something or anything, and who won't insult anybody. But if you do, I would go back to my first statement at the risk of being repetitive, Joe, and that is that you're wasting your time with it. Don't go there. You can work this out yourself without any help.
Thank you for your comment. Additional public comment?
Richard Margaretson, just quick. I couldn't find the staff report on this, but what's the cost of this? We don't have a cost at this point. And how many hours are you looking at to have the facilitator there? Three, four? I mean, can you... Do you have
it? It volunteered, so I'll go ahead and appoint Director Kelly and Vice President Ohilski to an ad hoc committee to meet with a facilitator and plan a goal-setting meeting.
And when would you like me to report back? How much time do I have?
I would say no less than 60 days. So you could certainly come back sooner.
It'll be...
But
yeah.
you might run in as you're gathering information. I don't know, so...
I'd like to ask our interim general manager, as far as the timeline, when do you think we should shoot for some sort of strategic planning? Or
well, obviously the sooner the better, and the reason I say that is most of the discussion that will come from this and the decisions that will come from this will be made part of the budget process that's coming up. And I hope to have a budget to you folks that you can look at the first draft of the budget for next year sometime in May.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
I think that's consistent with starting the budget process in May and the additional effort. You already had a specific direction on the budget. But.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any additional or any director closing comments?
Closing?
Yeah, I made the appointment, and that concludes agenda item B. Or do you have
comments
on that?
But we're on the closing.
Yes.
We're turning. Okay.
Director Kelly.
Sorry. I'd like to thank staff for your patience with us this evening. There was some discussion at the Water Ops meeting last night regarding that there's the open house event that's being held by utilities up at the water tanks. There's also a separate party that is not being sponsored by the CSD that's at the South Bay Community Center tomorrow night at 5:30. Everybody's welcome. There is a cost. We have established there's children and families included, but just wanted to clarify for the community that that is not a CSD-sponsored event, and that just to clarify that, and I hope to see people.
Can we get a comment from the audience? The signage, the Rotary sign, are you clear which event is being advertised there?
So, Mr. Moss, can you clarify the open house for tomorrow?
Yeah, the open house is from 2 to 5 tomorrow. And again, I'm going to have operators there, and there's tours of the facility answering questions. The party that was brought up last night at Water Ops had to do, it's just, there's no education, so I hate to let anyone down there, so we're not talking about anything other than whatever you want to talk about, it's just food, music, and it's a good time. It's open to all. It's a family event, and I'm hoping for a good turnout. We can all come out and enjoy.
But it's not sponsored or affiliated.
It is not sponsored by the LOCSD. No, it's not.
The open house is up at the 16th Street water tanks. The tanks themselves, yes.
Yes.
Right.
And then afterwards, it's here at the South Bay.
I've got my tickets.
Oh, I'm glad.
Director said it.
There won't be any swimming like in the pictures, right?
Yeah, we can't bring our snorkels and dive tanks.
No snorkels.
Rubber duckies.
No.
Vice President Wilhelmski.
Yeah, I would just like to make one comment, and I think this goes along with the committee appointment discussion. I think that the opportunity for members of the community to participate in the committees is important, but I think not only who is the member of the committee is important, but people coming actually to those committee meetings and participating. I think it's a good opportunity for the members of the community to express their concerns and opinions, and I think it's also a good opportunity for the committee members themselves to take actions or make recommendations to the board so we can take actions based on what the community feels is best for the community. I want to get as much information from the community as I can to make decisions. So I think the fact that the committees meet once a month and they're posted on our website, the meetings are regular. I'd like to just encourage as many as the members of the public to come to those meetings as possible. Express your opinions. I think that you'll see that we're listening to your opinions, and your opinions will be incorporated in future board actions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Director Sutton. I saw a big packet in the mail today from the county. I assume it's my survey, the preference regarding the waste.
Concerns the wastewater project. If you're interested, that's all I know. I'm sorry.
Thank you. And again, thanks to staff. The open house at the water tanks, 2 o'clock to 5 tomorrow. I'll make a quick comment, basically because I saw something in the paper today, and I'm very appreciative that our budget looks to be viable for this year. I don't think we can say the same for the state, and I'm appreciative of the efforts our local legislatures at the state level have made to try to get structural changes made. Assemblyman Blakesman has gone so far, I think over 4 months ago, to call for a constitutional convention. I think everybody knows we have structural problems, but I did saw comments that I considered somewhat disparaging to our local legislatures. And I heard a new term for taxes called revenue enhancements, and I think the state has to consider a lot of options. I hope they can compromise, but I'm appreciative of the efforts from Assemblyman Blakesley and Maldonado to try to get compromise on the state budget and to try to affect some structural changes. For that, we're going to be...
I disagree.